most wonderful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy great and glorious name. We give thee thanks for this day, and this time we have to come together, first study your word, and then to worship thee. We pray that you'll be with us this morning, Heavenly Father, during this study. Help us to clear our minds of all worldly thoughts and cares so we can concentrate upon thee and thy will. And as we study on this topic, we pray that you'll help us to find ways to make application to our lives so we can fight off the temptations that Satan will place before us with the misuse of the blessings that we have of technology. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with our brother Kevin and give him a ready remembrance of the things he's prepared and that he'll present them in a manner which all of us will be able to understand. Continue to be with us through the remainder of this service. It's our prayer in Christ's most holy and blessed name, and amen.
Amen. So this quarter, we've been studying avoiding digital dangers. And just as a recap, I want to go through some of the things we've studied about. We started off with laying foundations of two fundamental lessons. One, we studied about stewardship of our time and money. Then we studied about modesty. And we took that then into the technology realm and talked about cell phones and how they have advanced. We talked about social media. We've talked about music, TV, and movies, and we're getting into the meat now of digital dangers that you see mostly in the computer realm as well, of pornography, and we'll be getting into that today, next week, week following. Don't know how long it's going to take to get through this. I printed off my outline of the slides and front and back, and Christina said I was killing a tree. There's 90 slides total I have to go through. So we're going to get through it, and however long it takes to get through, that's how long it takes. I did want to circle back just quickly because we talked about one verse at the end of services last week. I wanted to go back and take the whole context, the whole paragraph. So let's go to Psalm 101. Psalm 101, we'll read verses 1 to 4. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Those are some powerful words, especially considering what we have been studying and what we are going to be studying in this lesson. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I will not know wickedness. So just those two phrases I want you to just get into your head and think about and dwell upon, whether it be in the computer realm or TV, movies, whatever. It's not setting wickedness before our eyes and not knowing wickedness at all. Because last week as we started the lesson, we talked about garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put into your life through all the inputs that we have is going to come out in our lives. So, that being said, I want to start the lesson on lesson 6 about pornography. But before we get into actual talking about pornography, I've mentioned a word several times, and I wanted to talk a little bit about addictions. It's been said that when it comes to addictions, we must loudly proclaim the thing you are playing with isn't playing with you. So it's not playing with you. You have to be on guard against it. And we talked about how the word addiction truly is not in the Bible, but just like gambling's not in the Bible, the word gambling, but there are several terms and underlying ideas that go along with it. Bible terms for addiction. We know, and we discussed 1 Corinthians 6:12 many times in this class. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. We must not be brought under the power or enslaved or mastered by anything. We also discussed last week 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We talked about strongholds and we talked about footholds last week and how we must not give Satan a foothold in our life. It talks about being devoured in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then there's sins that are many times construed in the addiction world as well. We have drunkenness given in the sins of the flesh, Galatians 5, before it goes into the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Also in that verses we studied about sorcery or witchcraft. We see in the Bible when it talks about sorcery or witchcraft, if you go back to that word, it actually has to do with the use of drugs to trick people. And then we have to beware of the snares of the devil. 1 Timothy 3, verse 7. Speaking of the office of an elder or bishop, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Or in chapter 6, verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So these are some terms that when we talked about addictions, these are some terms used and descriptions of addictions used in the Word of God, whether it be under the power or enslaved of, being a snare, or we know in Proverbs 20, verse 1, it's a deceiver. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led away by it is not wise. It's deceiving us. It's truly a snare. All these things, and if you go through all the Proverbs, we see the adulterous woman laying that snare and that trap for that foolish man. So we see these Bible terms for addiction, and we have to be on guard for them. We've studied the past two series out here. We talked about the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about the works of the devil. Now it leads straight into this. Now we have the fruit of the Spirit, and we know what the works of the flesh are, and we know how the devil works. So now we have to be on guard against them. Any comment or question so far,
Jacob? Yeah, just your last point here about a deceiver. Just thinking about it, that's the way Satan operates. And he is very, very good, because we can read passages like Galatians, earlier in Galatians 5, about the freedom that we have in Christ from sin and the law of Moses. And he can get us to think, tell us that we have freedom to just do whatever we want. But Paul tells us, before he gets to the works of the flesh, don't turn that freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Passages like Romans 6 tell us that we, even as Christians, we're going to be a slave to someone or something, either a slave to sin and Satan or a slave to righteousness and God, that we're not just turned loose, but Satan wants us to think that we're in control and that we can partake of sexual sins or other kinds of addictions, and we can control it. We're in control. But like you pointed out at the first of the class, really, those things control us. We can't control them without Christ.
Very good points. And also, I love how Eddie mentioned it in his prayer. So far, all the things we talked about have a good use and a bad use. Now, what we're going to be talking about going forward, not so much. But cell phones, social media, all those technology, there's a good way to use it. But there's also a bad way, and we have to be warned of that bad way. So, very good points. Anybody else? Okay. 1 Peter 4, verse 4. When the Bible discusses addictions or the things that go with addictions, there's also many other things that fall in line once that person is addicted or using the substance that causes addiction. 1 Peter 4, 4. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Same flood of dissipation or excess of riot. We discussed the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19, fornication and adultery. Many times if you have someone out there going out and getting drunk, which is, many times with addictions, it's usually drugs or alcohol is the main things we think of addictions. Today we're going to discuss the technology side of it, but many times with those other addictions, you have excess of riot and fornication and adultery, lasciviousness with your inhibitions being hindered, deceptions and lying. Romans 1:31. Romans 1:31. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. They're untrustworthy. They're deceiving. And we know all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone in Revelation 21:8. Lying goes with all these levels, whether it be with the drugs, whether it be with the alcohol, whether it be with pornography. It's also degrading to one's body, and we must be careful of our bodies. We are stewards of our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6. 'Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then also back in Romans 1, we read verse 31. We're not going to read the full paragraph here, but we know that they profess to be wise, but then they change the glory of God into that incorruptible. Allowed them to go into their own uncleanness and their lust of their hearts, dishonoring their bodies, exchanging the truth of God for a lie. They gave them, and it's called vile passions in verse 26. All these things go with addictions and so much more, many other things too. Let's go back to 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, let's read verses 1 through 4. We read verse 4 about the excess of riot and flood of dissipation, but let's read verses 1 to 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So in this verse, when we've discussed alcohol and alcoholism before, we've studied the words drunkenness, revelries, and drinking parties. And just as a reminder, drunkenness or excess of wine is an overflow or surplus of wine that is violency or drunkenness, revelings or carousals or as if letting loose, or banquetings or drinking parties or drinking bout or carousal. And what I wanted to pull out from that is all three levels of addiction are condemned, whether it just be the social use or you're truly in the gutter drunk. And we need to take the same warnings against other addictions. There is a progression in addictions. It goes use, abuse, and dependence. And in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, that's a mouthful, but it says, every class of abuse substance except nicotine has the capacity to produce or mimic symptoms of other psychiatric disorders, such as delirium, dementia, amnesic, psychotic mood, anxiety, sexual, and sleep disorders during intoxication or withdrawal. That's when you get to the abuse and dependence, you have that state. So we talked about it with alcohol. It starts with the first time. So we need to make sure we are guarding against even the first time. Any comments or questions so far? And I'll give the credit to most of this study of addictions to Art Adams, who has a great series on leaving the pit of addictions. So I'll get a little bit more into him shortly, but most of this lesson about addictions is from him. When you're addicted, what is seen on the outside? You have cravings, behavior, outbursts of behavior, psychological changes, and there's a progression of the addiction. It's my best friend, nothing else is important, or I have to have it to feel normal. Those are the things on the outside that we can see in other people or other people can see in us. But what's happening on the inside is even scarier. A change in body chemistry, a tolerance, and then with the dependence comes the withdrawal. So if you're going through it and you're not having it, you're going to have that withdrawal. And it was mentioned in class. I want to put it up here as well. That white line down the center of the screen is our baseline or our normal level. With any addictive drug or any addiction, that first use gives you a high. After that high, you get dropped down. You have low. It drops down. Doesn't drop you back all the way down to normal, but you crave that high again. So you take the high, use the substance again. But the second time, it doesn't get you as far up as on a high as that first time did. And then as we see going down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the seventh time you use it, that high, where's that high hit? You're normal. So what you were feeling as normal before you used it, your high is now that at the seventh time. So your lows are now perceived, your highs are perceived as normal because that's where it thought you were as close to where you should be. So when you're not using it, you're dropped down low and having those withdrawal and tolerance issues. And there's three choices you have when you're down that low. Ride it out and get it out of your system to where you get a new baseline. Increasing the dosage for alcohol or the drugs, or adding a stronger substance. And that's why we have, whenever you have someone who gets addicted to one alcohol, they'll usually add other things further down the road, trying to get back up to that normal baseline. Any questions or comments? So we said that's what's happening there. Now I'm going to take that same usage and apply that to the addiction of pornography. What's happening on the inside? This has been studied, and it comes up decently there. I want to make sure it did. What's happening on the inside? You have two chemicals in your brain. And just for the sake of argument, I didn't put their names up here until the next slide, but you have a liking and a wanting system in your brain. A liking is a tiny portion of your reward center of your brain. That provides enjoyable feelings when you win a game or when you share a kiss or you experience any natural, healthy reward. It also lights up, however, with counterfeit rewards, like cigarettes, drugs, or porn, which is why addictive substances feel enjoyable at first, because it's firing that liking system of the brain. The other system is the wanting system. It's a much larger area in the reward center of the brain. It causes the brain actually to rewire itself to, in response to that intense pleasure. It uses a protein called delta FOSB and builds new brain connections so you remember that experience and you want to repeat it later. It's called the wanting system because those new nerve connections make you crave that pleasurable experience. So you have the liking and the wanting system to the brain. The liking is that excitement, like when you shared your first kiss. Then the wanting is, I want more because it brought intense pleasure. But we said that there's those counterfeit things. And when those counterfeit reactions happen, so with repeated exposure to pornography, that wanting system grows more sensitive to the cues that cause the cravings. But at the same time that the wanting system grows more sensitive, that liking system grows less sensitive at the pleasure. And the awful irony of that addiction, the user wants it more and more, even while he or she likes it less and less.
Could you compare that to food?
There are food addictions, and the same thing. You want more and more, but you're not getting the same pleasure. Exactly, yes. Anybody else?
This is also true in people who get deep in debt. Their high is when they're out buying things. And we want more things, better things. That new car smell and that same addiction is can apply to that part of people's lives.
Very true. Very true today. We talked about the love of money and how we need to be good stewards of that. But the same holds true with this liking and wanting with that as well. Good point. Any other comments or questions? Let's turn back to Genesis. I went through on question number one, how sexuality has been distorted all the way back in Genesis. And I asked the question to list how God's plan for sexuality was distorted. And we start in Genesis 4:19. We know it wasn't a law back then, but what happened in Genesis 4:19? Multiple wives, polygamy. And we see in our studies on Wednesday, we see what that led to with Solomon. How it pulled him away because he wanted to please all the many wives and concubines, and it led him to many, many idolatrous religions. Genesis 19. Genesis 19, verse 5. Speaking of Sodom and Gomorrah, so what do you think the sin would be there? Homosexuality. Where are those men that bring them out? Bring those out men out to us. Where are those men that came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we might know them carnally. Sodom and Gomorrah was a very sinful city in that sin. It wasn't that they were not hospitable and welcoming to the people who came to visit. In this case, it looks like they're on the extreme of that. But if you talk to some people about Sodom and Gomorrah, they'll say, though, they're destroyed for lack of their hospitality. Here it depicts a completely different scene. Genesis 34. Genesis 34, verses 1 and 2, says, now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. We have fornication and rape. In Genesis 38, verse 15, we have Judah and Tamar, but I want to pull something out of verse 15. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. So what do we know was in the land at that time?
Prostitution.
prostitution. Reading verse 16 and 18 of that same verse, he turned to her by the way and said, "Please let me come to you," for he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, "What will you give me that you may come into me?" He said, "I'll send you a young goat from the flock." So she said, "Will you give me a pledge till you send it?" Then he said, "What pledge shall I give you?" So she said, "Your signet and cord, your staff that is in your hand." He gave them and went into her, and she conceived by him. So we have incest in that one. And then in chapter 39, verse 7, we have Potiphar's wife with her evil seduction. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." So all these things we see going against what God had in mind for a man and a woman. So we have polygamy, homosexuality, fornication and rape, prostitution, incest, and evil seduction. And we're only in the first book of the Bible.
He mentions in the Bible somewhere, I don't know where, but it's going on all over the world today, in churches, in the government, is pedophilia and child trafficking.
Very true. That's another thing that's in there as well. Anybody else?
Just a comment on Genesis 38:15. That Tamar dressed herself in such a way that she was thought to be a harlot. This deals with modesty. That women need to watch how they dress. If we imitate the world in our dress, men are going to think that we're like them. It's important that we dress in such a way that we're not mistaken to be an ungodly individual.
Very good point. Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, all these passages, like you have mentioned, God clearly states his design for marriage and for fulfilling our sexual desires and those kinds of things. He gives us that very clearly in the Bible. But like Satan does with all of, well, maybe not all of these addictions, but I mean things like that, he can take things that God originally meant for our good if we use them in the proper way, in the proper setting with the proper people. But Satan can even take those things that God meant for our good to be a blessing to us and turn around. Again, going back to Eddie's prayer at the beginning of class. And that just shows us how crafty and cunning he really is. Because, you know, pornography, it looks like the real thing, and sexual images and things related to that. Maybe you can even feel like the real thing, but God has only set aside that in the marriage relationship.
Anybody else? The next question I had when I looked through the New Testament and figure out three verses you could find dealing with sexual purity. And to make it even easier, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the first book and we're going to go through, and if you have one, mention it, and I'll bring out what I've thought of. Anybody have one in Matthew demanding sexual purity?
5:27 and 28.
Verse 28 says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." I'm going to Mark now. 7:21-23. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile man." So then we see the things that defile man are those. So again, he's demanding sexual purity in there. Skipping parallel passages of those same ones that we could find in Luke and John, if we go to that book of Acts, Acts 15, verse 29, "That you abstain from the things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well." In the book of Romans, Romans 13, verses 12 to 13. "Verse
says, the night is nearly over, or the night is far spent. The day is almost here, so let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. We see, again, in the book of Romans, that God demands sexual purity. There's a common theme, but I wanted to keep pointing it out and emphasizing it over and over again. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, we know the church in Corinth had an issue. But now I've written to you not to keep company with or anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. God demands sexual purity in his church. The next chapter, chapter 6, verse 13. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The body is not for sexual immorality. He demands purity. Dropping down just five more verses in that same chapter. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. The next chapter, the next book, 2 Corinthians 12, 21. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before, and I have not repented of this uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Galatians 5. We already talked about the works of the flesh back down in 19 to 21, but we have the lust of the flesh mentioned in verse 16. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 5, 3 to 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not even be named among you as is fitting saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So we have fornication and uncleanness. Fornication and uncleanness again come up in Colossians 3, 5 to 6. Therefore put to death your members, which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Let's skip one. We'll skip Philippians and go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 to 5 and verse 7. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Skipping now again to Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. So fornicator is condemned in Hebrews as well. We know that is definitely true, just either on that same page of your Bible or turn the page to chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all and a bed undefiled, but fornication and adulterers God will judge. We already mentioned 1 Peter 4 verse 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Going to Jude. Jude 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So if they're condemned for their sexual immorality, we know God demands sexual purity. The book of Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. In the next letter he wrote in chapter 2, verse 20, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols." And then we've already pointed out with the liars, but in Revelation 21:8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And a point I wanted to emphasize, more than half of the books of the New Testament are represented here. And I'm sure if we went back, I skipped some of the books, but I'm sure we could find something in there that points to God demanding sexual purity, even in the books that I skipped. Any questions or comments? That's why we need to have this study. That is why we are having this study. As with what we went through with technology and cell phones and social media, I wanted to get into some statistics. Some are recent. Some are about 10 years old, because that's how far the most recent survey done on these things. But I wanted to get you some statistics in front of you so you can see how this is an issue. The first one is actually the most recent statistic I have from June of 2018. It was a Gallup poll. More Americans say pornography is morally acceptable. And that is up to 43% that say it's morally acceptable from 36% last year. So 36% last year said it was morally acceptable. 43% say it is this year. Every second, $3,075.64 is being spent on pornography. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. Every second, 372 internet users are typing adult search terms into search engines. And every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the United States. So I just paused for 2 seconds, so you can just imagine what happened in those 2 seconds. I just paused. One site puts out a year-end review, and I've hidden the site's name so no one goes and tries to search the site and falls into pornography. But their year-end review says, I skipped one. Do not read the first post. 28.5 billion annual visits to that website. I thought there was three on the webpage, but 81 million daily average visits. 25 billion searches performed on the site. 50,000 searches a minute. 800 searches per second. Over 4 million videos were uploaded to that site last year. And hours of that pornography that is uploaded was 595,482 hours. That results in 24,811 days, if you put that in days. Or if you put that in years, it's 68 years. So in 1 year, 68 years of pornography were uploaded to a website. And 3,732 petabytes were transferred on that website. That is 10,225,000 gigabytes a day. Going to an hour, it's 426,000 gigabytes, 7,000 gigabytes a minute, 118 gigabytes per second. Or to put that in more terms that you might understand, that's enough data to fill the memory of every single iPhone currently in use around the world. And 120 million people voted on videos on that website. Astounding. $97 billion spent worldwide on pornography. And it's not just in the U.S. U.S. is 14%. China is 28, South Korea 27, Japan 21. $97 billion revenues. That's larger than Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, all combined. The top 10 technology companies all combined do not even hit $97 billion. Let's bring that a little closer home, go to US. $13.33 billion in the US. 27% of that was on video sales or rentals, 21% on internet, cable and phone sex 17%, dance clubs 15%, novelty stores 13%, magazines 7%. $13.33 billion. That is larger than the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC. $6.2 billion for them. Now, I will say this. This was before Disney was acquired, so that might be slightly skewed. But $6.2 billion compared to $13.33, that still gives $7 billion of revenue as a buffer. Larger than combined revenues of professional football, baseball, and basketball. So football, baseball, and basketball revenues all combined still do not reach the pornography revenue for the U.S. It's amazing. Scary. Again, why we need to have this study. So we brought it from the world down to U.S. Let's bring it a little even closer to home. In 2006, on a list of search engine request keyword trends in the U.S., Louisville, Kentucky was fifth for searches for the word porn. For the word sex, Louisville, Kentucky was number four. There are 4.2 million pornographic websites on the internet. 88% of them originating in the U.S. and the other 12 split between other countries there. You say 4.2 million, that's quite a lot. It is. It's actually 12% of all websites are pornographic. Out of the top 100 websites, 7 of those are adult sites. There's actually 420 million pages containing pornographic material in those 4.2 million sites. So each site has an average of 100 pages containing pornographic material. And approximately 100 new sites are added daily. So there is an extreme digital danger in the world today. More statistics. The average age of first exposure, 11 years old. Child search engine keywords. Sex was fourth in the teen and tween. Porn was sixth for teens, 11th for tween. And seven and under, it's actually fourth in their search keywords as well. So again, we can see the need for this study and for arming ourselves and our kids. The largest consumer base is the 35 to 49 age group. 15 to 17 year olds with multiple hardcore exposures is 80%. 8 to 16 year olds have viewed porn online. 90% of those said they have. And most say it's done while they have been doing homework on their computers. Next page shows, again, it's not just one particular age group. It's actually spread pretty evenly across all age groups. Not just age groups, incomes as well. Incomes as well. With the 75,000, of course, being 35%, but still it's spread across the terms. So we'll get in a little bit further in that, but I just want to give an introduction about it before we get in. We saw through the Bible how sexual purity is demanded. So thank you all.